Well, yesterday, as I'm sure you're all aware, was Independence Day, and I hope that everybody took the opportunity to celebrate the founding of our great nation. I assume that most Bible-believing Christians are patriotic. Not too long ago, patriotism was one of the distinguishing marks of conservative Christians. Churches often had special services and celebrations marking July the 4th. Christians had much to celebrate because our nation was founded on biblical principles by God-fearing people. The nation basically upheld and promoted biblical values at the beginning. But much has changed over the last century or so. Today we see a large segment of our population rioting, looting, burning buildings, tearing down monuments, and generally behaving very badly. Many people today are ashamed of our founding fathers and the principles that they held. They today want to deface and to tear down monuments in favor of or promoting the founding fathers. It seems that about half of the population today is in favor of changing American culture fundamentally. That is, they're not interested just in fixing the problems of our nation. They think what we need is a total destruction and a renovation of America. The whole system of culture and society, they say, is corrupt and needs to be burnt down and rebuilt. Well, in light of recent changes, and especially in light of the current situation that we're in today, I think it's entirely suitable to ask the question, can we still be patriotic? Given the current conditions, can we be supportive of America as it exists right now? Well, some people, I suppose, would have the attitude, my country, right or wrong. No matter what the country does, no matter who is in charge, who is in leadership, no matter what the country stands for today, they're going to be for it, they're going to be supportive, they're going to be patriotic, no matter what. The country could become communist, and they would still be supportive of the nation. Maybe some people would have that position. But we know that Christians, as the old song says, we believe that this world is not my home. We're just passing through. We are, as the Bible says, strangers and pilgrims in this world. This is not our final destination. This is not our real home. We are citizens, of course, of this country, but our more profound citizenship is in heaven as part of God's kingdom. When there's a conflict between these two worlds, the world in which we live today and God's kingdom, well, then we have to decide where our loyalties are going to lie. And as Christians, our loyalty should be for God and His program. Given how things are changing in this nation, is it any longer reasonable for Christians to be patriotic? How bad do things have to get before we would start questioning our patriotism? Well, today I'd like to offer a few remarks about our relationship to our nation as it becomes increasingly corrupt and anti-biblical. Now, typically speaking, on a Sunday morning, we'd be going through a passage of Scripture, pretty much verse by verse. But since yesterday was Independence Day, and many of us were out celebrating and enjoying the freedoms that we are given as members of this society and this nation, I thought it'd be appropriate for us today to consider the state of our nation, the state of our world, and ask that question, how supportive can we be given the bad conditions politically and morally in which we live today? So these are just several remarks. They're not in any particular order, I suppose. These are just things that occurred to me from a biblical point of view. First of all, we know our biblical responsibilities regarding government. I won't take the time, but we could look at Romans chapter 13, because that says that the powers that be are ordained of God, and we know that we're supposed to follow the governmental authorities over us. Jesus, you may remember, said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." So there are things that belong to this world, to this political system, to this nation in which we live, and we have to render unto Caesar those things that are his responsibility, or, you know, the civil government's responsibility. We have to follow those guidelines that are given to us in the Bible. For example, the Bible tells us to obey our authorities, the government, the civil authorities. As much as we can, we are to obey the authorities. The Bible tells us to pray for the authorities and even honor the authorities. So normally, Christians support the government, and we try to do as we are told. We don't protest very often, at least, and we certainly don't engage in rioting and looting. It's only when the government authorities either try to tell us to do something unbiblical and unrighteous, or they try to prevent us from fulfilling our biblical obligations, that we have the right to bring forth that verse in Acts 5 where it says, we ought to obey God rather than man. So normally speaking, and we've been very fortunate in our land, that it's not too often that the government tries to force us to do something evil or try to prevent us from doing what our responsibilities are. But occasionally it does happen, and it could happen. It very likely will happen. And so at that time, we have the right then not to obey man, but to obey God. Patriotism does not require that we support everything that our authorities are trying to do. We might be strongly against our authorities, and yet we can still try to obey them. We can still try to honor them, and we can certainly still pray for them. In fact, the worse our authorities are, probably the more we ought to be praying for them. And so we know what our biblical responsibilities are regarding the governing authorities of our nation or whatever nation we might live in. Secondly, I think patriotism itself is not a biblical virtue. In other words, the Bible is not a political document. It says very little about rights and responsibilities as citizens. There's nothing in the Bible about loving your country or being a loyal supporter of your nation. There's not a chapter, there's not a verse that says thou shalt be patriotic or loyal to your country. In Bible times, in fact, most people had no choice about the nation in which they were living. They had no vote, and if you had a bad king, too bad. I mean, that king is probably going to be in power for many years, either until he dies or somebody kills him. So, you know, it's not like you could vote in a new king after 4 years of a bad administration. And so most of the time, people, especially in Bible days, were just living under tyranny. There were bad king one after the other, and there was really not much you could do about it. We might think the Jews were loyal to their country, and maybe because the Jewish people were loyal to Israel, well, we ought to be loyal to our nation as well. However, Israel was unlike every other nation, in that Israel was God's chosen people, right? It's really the family of Abraham. So Israel is not the same as any other nation. We don't have the same responsibilities that the Israelites had to their nation. And under the Israelite system of the Old Testament, there was no separation of church and state. So if you were not loyal to the nation, it amounted to being disloyal to God. Well, that's not the way things work in our world today or in our nation. There is no direct linkage between loyalty to the nation of America and loyalty to God. God's program for the world is not the nation of America. God's program for today is the church. And the church exists in virtually every nation in the world. So we may be desperately against, let's say, the policies of China, but we are desperately for those Christians in China who are part of the same body of Christ as what we are in. So our real concern is not so much political as it is spiritual and trying to uphold and support God's program in the world today. We get into a little bit of trouble when we start mixing loyalty to the nation and loyalty to God or the church. Because what happens if the nation goes down the tubes? What happens if a nation becomes communist? Are you still going to be loyal to the nation when everything in communism is directly against the God of the Bible? You have to decide where your loyalties are. Are you going to follow the nation down the sewer, or are you going to follow God? And sometimes there's that decision that we need to make. It's easy for Christians to be loyal patriots when their nation is following biblical guidelines. And our nation, as we all know, is founded on biblical principles, Christian values. And that's why Christians have typically been very patriotic. It's easy to be a patriot when the nation is following and supporting biblical values. For example, it says in Psalm 33, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Well, has there ever been a time when our God, the God of the Bible, has been the Lord of America? Well, very likely we could say for the first at least 150 years of the American experience, most people, probably 90 to 95% of citizens in the United States, claim to be Christian. And the government, for the most part, stood for basically Christian values. So it's easy to be patriotic. It's easy to both love God and your nation when they're both kind of going down parallel tracks and they're both following the same kind of virtues and the same values. Proverbs 29:2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." And again, we can say that we've been blessed by having some righteous authorities in power. There have been some good people. In fact, still today, you really can't be elected to the president without at least claiming to believe in God and even be a Christian. Many of our presidents have claimed to be, almost all of them, I guess, have claimed to be Christian, and many of them have claimed to be born again, Bible-believing Christians. Obviously, many of them have proved not to be that, but almost all of them at least have claimed to be Christians. When the righteous are in authority, we can rejoice. It's a blessing. We have the righteous in authority. They're Bible believers, or at least they claim to be Christian. They're following some Christian values. And, you know, what's not to like? We can be patriotic easily. We should remember what John Adams said. He said, "Our Constitution is designed only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate for any other." Have you ever thought why people want to get rid of the Constitution? There are many people today who want to get rid of the Constitution because the Constitution is only adequate, as John Adams said, our second president, it's only adequate, only designed for a moral and religious people. If people are immoral and irreligious, why would they want to follow our Constitution? Well, they don't. That's why they want to get rid of it. That's why they want to have some means to overcome it, to do something different. So I think it's perfectly acceptable for Christians to be patriotic when those in authority are decent, God-fearing people, and when they lead the country to follow basic biblical guidelines. When Christian morality is commonly upheld within the nation, well, who doesn't want to be patriotic? I mean, what Christian would be opposed to a government that wants to uphold and defend biblical principles? We should want to support our nation when it's standing for righteousness. And for many years, that was the case. And now, obviously, there have been some problems over the years, but by and large, our nation has stood for biblical Christian values. However, when a nation as a whole turns away from God, and when the governing authorities establish laws contradictory to the Bible, then we have a different situation. And we could go through many laws that have been changed over the last several decades that simply promote ungodliness. By and large, laws governing moral behavior that used to support and uphold basic biblical morality are gone. America used to have godly laws that supported biblical morality because most of the people claimed to be Christians, and those are the people who were elected into office, and the laws that they passed pretty much followed the guidelines of biblical morality. But that has changed. The laws prohibiting certain immoral behaviors have been removed, and laws protecting those same immoral behaviors now have been adopted. What was once called evil is now called good, and that's why I read that passage from Isaiah. They are calling good evil and evil good, and that is a perfect description of what many people are doing today in America. What was once rightfully suppressed is now shamefully celebrated. The current administration, thank the Lord, has turned things around a little bit, and I'm thankful for any movement away from evil and toward good. And so I think we can thank God that there has been some change in things over the last several years. But they really haven't reversed things, so to speak. They really haven't ended the leftward movement. They've maybe slowed the spread of the evil a little bit, but they certainly haven't stopped it. So the conditions that Isaiah lamented, I believe, are precisely happening today in our nation. Many people are calling evil good and good evil. They're confusing darkness and light. They want to protect the wicked and penalize the just. Laws today reward ungodly behavior because that's the way people want it. And remember, it's our representatives that we put into office who make the laws. And so the laws reflect exactly what the people want. As it says in Jeremiah 5:31, "The prophets prophesy falsely, the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so." So the people of America, by and large, put people into office because they want laws that give them the right to do immoral things. Immoral people want ungodly people in office, so they change the laws so that they can pursue their immorality. That's what's going on today. And again, it is a privilege to be governed by our representatives, people we vote into office. And since that's the case, the government reflects pretty accurately the makeup of the people. Right now, about half of our elected representatives or officials stand directly in contradiction to biblical guidelines and teaching. For example, they're in favor of abortion and even against reasonable restrictions of the grisly, barbaric practice of abortion. Even when the Republicans had both houses of Congress and the executive and the presidential office, they were unable or unwilling to change the abortion laws. Many today are in favor of same-sex marriage and the LGBT movement. Many so-called conservatives today tell us that we've lost that battle. You know, we may as well not even participate anymore in the culture wars or trying to change things morally because we've lost that battle. The country has moved on. And so we may as well not even say anything about these things and just adopt them, just start supporting these immoral practices just like everybody else does. Many want to take the resources from those who earn them and give them to those who don't earn them. All those in favor of these kinds of policies, frankly, are against God and the Bible. If you are in favor of these kind of leftist policies, then frankly, you are by definition against God. So the nation, I think, today is almost equally divided on these issues of morality. The overall movement, unfortunately, is away from God and toward paganism, socialism, and Marxism. And if that trend continues, not many years hence, laws allowing or promoting biblical or moral guidelines will be just about gone. And so when the nation no longer supports biblical values or morality, why should Christians be patriotic? Or to put it another way, how bad do things have to get before we will no longer be patriotic? If the nation as a whole adopts socialism, will you still be patriotic? If the nation as a whole adopts communism, will you still be patriotic? And we might say, well, that'll never happen. Don't be so sure. The people in charge, or many of the people who have the greatest power in our nation, are pushing very strongly toward both socialism and eventually communism. They claim they want to burn down, tear down, destroy the foundation of America, get rid of American history, and replace it with their version of whatever they think would be best for America. And that could be, very easily, it could be a brand of socialism or even communism. I mean, Bernie Sanders almost became the president of the United States. So if that can happen in America, anything could happen in America. So we're not that far away from it, and you might not think that that would ever happen. But if an America following the Bernie Sanders model became the thing, if it became established in America, how patriotic would you be to follow that vision of the American Republic? I certainly wouldn't be, and it'd be pretty hard to be patriotic under that kind of a system. When the nation becomes the opposite of what it once was, when it starts calling evil good and good evil, when the majority of people want it that way, then I think patriotism is a very difficult thing for a Christian to engage in. Now, I'm not saying that we're there yet. Obviously, many of these things remain to be seen, what the outcome is going to be. The upcoming election in November is going to have a real big effect one way or the other. But despite the elections, it seems as if the overall movement of the country is in a bad direction. Sometimes things are moving slowly, sometimes things move very quickly, but it seems as if our nation is headed in the wrong direction. Thirdly, we can support and uphold the original purpose and founding of our country, the original purpose and founding. July 4th, of course, is a celebration of a historical event. It is the Declaration of Independence of our nation from Great Britain. And there's a great many things about that that are worthy of celebration. There are many things about the founding of our country and the principles that we founded our nation on that we should be supportive of. We all know that America was founded on Christian values. It may not have been established as a Christian nation per se, but most of the founders were professing Christians, and the foundational values of the U.S. come from a biblical worldview. John Adams, he was the second president of the United States, he said, "The general principles on which the founders achieved independence were the only principles in which they could unite. And what were these general principles? I answer, the general principles of Christianity." He was one of the founding fathers of our nation who says that the nation was founded on Christian principles. In fact, that was the only thing that they could find unity in, was Christian values. James Madison, who basically wrote the Constitution, he was the fourth president of the United States. James Madison said, "We have staked the whole future of the American civilization not upon the power of government, but upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." The Founding Fathers said we built our nation on the moral teachings of God as found in the Ten Commandments. So maybe we were not established exactly as a Christian, so-called Christian nation, but that was the foundation of it. Have you ever read those statements from John Adams or James Madison in a history book? Do you suppose that they're teaching that in the public schools today? I don't think so. What are the founding principles of the American Republic? Well, of course, the Declaration of Independence says that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so America is the land of the free, right? We have guaranteed freedoms of religion and freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to bear arms, freedom of peaceable assembly, due process of law. These are all given to us in the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. And so these things guarantee our freedoms, or I really should say, they protect the freedoms that God gives to us. So no matter how far the country moves away from these founding ideals, they are still the founding ideals. And I think we can celebrate that. Our nation got started in the right place. The founding fathers had the right ideas, and we can, on July the 4th and any other time, we can celebrate the fact that our nation was founded or started on some of these very good principles. No matter what else is happening today, we can celebrate what happened in 1776. We can treasure what the founding fathers and their revolutionary ideas promoted or put into practice, which was our nation. But many people today deny that the founding of our country was a good thing. People tell us today that America was founded for what purpose? To support and enhance slavery. That's why we have a nation today, many people tell us, is to promote and enhance the practice of slavery. Everything America achieved, they say, we did on the backs of the slaves. The founding fathers are just a bunch of hypocrites because many of them owned slaves while they were saying that every man is created equal and everybody should have freedom. They did not grant freedom or equality to the slaves that they owned, and so they're just a bunch of hypocrites. And so they tell us that we should not celebrate the founding of our country. We should not celebrate our founders. We should tear down their monuments, and we should rebuild the country according to their viewpoint. They tell us our country is bad and has been bad from the very beginning. Well, of course, we all would admit that America is not a perfect place. It never has been perfect. It never will be. The nation has frequently, unfortunately, strayed from its founding values. We don't deny that there has been some dark days in the history of the United States. But in spite of the nation's failures, we still can look back on the founding of our nation with great appreciation. In fact, our country has done just about more than any other country to correct its errors and to do the right thing. You know, we are always striving to make a more perfect union over the last 240 or so years. So I don't know that there's any other nation that has dealt with its problems. You know, we outlawed slavery. We had a whole civil war to deal with that issue. And so I think that America has done a lot to try to remedy its problems. Fourthly, we can support those who want to conserve the good aspects of our nation. Again, how are we going to be patriotic? Well, we can certainly endorse and support the founding fathers and their ideas, and then we can also support those who want to conserve the good aspects of our nation. Sometimes, unfortunately, in a nation like ours, because it is an elective republic, we elect the officials. We have to sometimes elect the better of two bad options, you might say. We have to decide which person to elect who's going to do the least harm. The person who gets in the office may be not exactly the kind of person that we would want there. But the old saying is, you can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. And some of our politicians are, frankly, crooked sticks, but they're still, as it were, drawing straight lines. They're still moving the ball in the right direction. They still may be supportive of policies and decisions and things that we would want to see happen. Our current president, I think, is a very good example of a crooked stick from all appearances at least, but he's done some very good things, things that we would support and things that we would promote as Christians. He's getting some good things done in spite of his personal issues, and we don't deny that there are plenty of personal issues involved with the person who's residing in the office of the president right now. So we may find certain things about him objectionable, but he's better than the alternative. If you remember, he was running against somebody back about 4 years ago, and he was the better alternative. Maybe we would say he's the lesser of two evils, but he's turned out to be, in certain respects, pretty good. And although he may be a crooked stick in certain ways, he's making some good policy decisions, and we can support that. We may not support his person. We may not support his character. That doesn't mean that character is not important. I think character is very important. But when it comes down to decisions like this, either we support the worst possible person in the world, or we support somebody who may not be quite as bad. And oftentimes, we have to settle for somebody who may not be our first choice, but actually might get some good things done. Number five, we must not trust in the government to uphold Christian virtues. Psalm 118, verse 9 says, "It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." For many years, the government and the church were largely in agreement, morally speaking. The church was a major influence in the culture, and the government had respect for Christian values, like honesty, fairness, and human value. So the government upheld and supported biblical virtues and values. But today, after about 60 years of moral revolution in our culture, many people today in powerful places of authority have no respect, no appreciation for Christianity or biblical virtues. They're actively fighting against them. And so we have kind of a divided culture right now, with about half of our people pushing things in the wrong, what I would say from a biblical point of view, in the wrong direction, and the other half basically wanting to go in the right direction. And with the election of President Trump, there has been a bit of a reversal from the previous administrations and from the direction that the country was going. I think he's stemmed the tide a little bit. He has reversed things to some degree. But if the leftists gain the upper hand again, all of that will change. And unfortunately, I think most of us thought that if we elected the right people into office, and especially if we put the right people on the courts, especially the Supreme Court, then the leftists and the liberals could no longer legislate from the bench. That is, they couldn't change the government if they weren't in control. We have to put the right people into office and the right people on the courts. But the problem is, we have largely, to some degree at least, put the so-called right people on the courts and the right people into office, but that has not changed things very much. In fact, it's been some Republican appointees who have been responsible for the greatest damage coming out of the decisions of the Supreme Court. For example, Republican appointees to the Supreme Court gave us legalized abortion and kept it legal over these years. They gave us same-sex marriage. They redefined the laws granting privileges to LGBT people. Just the other day, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but just within the last couple of weeks, Chief Justice John Roberts, who was appointed by President Bush, he sided with the leftists on the court to strike down a Louisiana law that would have put a very small restriction on the practice of abortion. So people like us tried to get decent, God-fearing people on the court, and when they got on the court, they did exactly what we feared that they would do, and that is capitulate to the pressure around them. Instead of upholding and supporting biblical values like we thought they were going to do, they turned around and did not support those values. And so electing the right people into office and putting the right people on the courts has frankly not been very effective against the rising tide of leftism in America. Today, the Constitution, in which we put so much trust and hope, is not really the final authority in our land. The Supreme Court, and frankly five justices on the Supreme Court, have taken the responsibility of the supreme authority in the land, not only to tell us if a law is constitutional, but really to rewrite laws according to their own whims. Even the supposedly conservative justices today are legislating from the bench, exactly what we hoped that they would not do. And so do we really have the rule of law today in the United States? What we have is the rule of five justices on the Supreme Court, who tell us what the law is or who decide to change it if they feel like doing so. So by this time, we should have learned that we should not trust the government to uphold and support biblical values. Now, we are grateful when they do, but we can't support the government to be on our side. And frankly speaking, I think the time is not too long down the road when the government will be deeply and thoroughly hostile against the church. And then finally, we must stand against the direction that our country seems to be going. There are certain indicators that show that the country, by and large, is moving in the wrong direction. What do the following historical landmarks suggest about the direction of our country? In 1962, prayer in public school was made illegal. In 1972, abortion was made legal. In 1973, the Supreme Court opened the door for increasing tolerance of pornography. In 1980, the posting of the Ten Commandments in public schools was made illegal. In 2003, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down sodomy laws. 5 years ago, in fact, almost 5 years to the day, back in 2015, the Supreme Court made same-sex marriage legal. Just a few days ago, the Supreme Court decided that sexual orientation and gender identification laws were protected status under the 1964 Civil Rights Code. People around our nation are rioting, looting, pulling down statues and monuments, and desecrating tombstones. And governors and mayors around the country are telling the police to stand down and to do nothing about this violence. Well, I think these are signs, and there are many more like them, that tell us that in spite of the occasional temporary reversal, the nation as a whole is moving away from its founding principles and toward, I believe, imminent disaster. A large segment of our nation today supports perversion, pornography, abortion, gambling, gender confusion, violence, and socialism. At least half of the country today promotes the kind of behaviors that the Bible condemns. And it's a distinct possibility that we may have a president who supports and encourages the exact opposite of what the Bible commands, depending on the upcoming election. I can support the founding fathers and the foundational principles upon which the nation was built. I can appreciate the freedoms granted to us by our founding documents. I admit that we have some good people in government, and occasionally, in fact, they try to do what is right and what is good for our nation. But our nation is not what it once was. It has been radically transformed through a moral revolution that caused this nation to be something the founding fathers probably would hardly recognize. So can I still be patriotic? Well, only in the sense of an appreciation of the ideals upon which our country was founded and which were operating for many years. I think we can be patriotic in the sense of supporting any movement back toward those principles. We can be patriotic in the sense of supporting people who still adhere to the founding principles of our country. But unfortunately, it seems as if that group of people that is supporting the founding documents, the founding fathers, the founding ideas, that is a smaller group all the time. Isaiah warned us about the coming judgment that was going to fall on the nation of Israel because of their sin. Babylon would come and invade and destroy the nation. Well, we don't know what God has in plan for the United States of America. If things keep going on the way that they're going, without a major reversal, you can see disaster just around the corner. But perhaps God will bring about a great revival that will move the nation back toward the founding principles of our nation. That has happened in the past. There have been great revivals that have won many souls to Christ, and people have really changed. Societies and culture has changed under the influence of great spiritual revivals. Or perhaps the nation will simply decline little by little. God will withdraw his blessing as the people of the nation turn away from him. I think largely God's blessing has been upon America because America has supported and upheld biblical virtues, biblical values. And to the extent that we support godly Christian values in America, God's blessing will be upon our nation. But now things have changed, things are changing, and I think little by little, perhaps, God will withdraw his blessing as well. The salt and the light associated with the gospel will steadily decrease in its influence. God's judgment will fall, or it could, certainly. Depends on how long-suffering and merciful God is, but God could bring his judgment upon America just like he's done on so many other countries. In fact, I would argue that some of the difficulties that we have today in the world, in our nation, is a sign of God's judgment. God is withholding, God is retracting his blessing, and he is allowing us to experience the results, the just deserts of the nation's behavior. Within a few decades or less, America will be what Europe is, I fear, nearly destitute of a robust Christian influence. Well, we can hope and pray that America will somehow regain some of its former greatness. American greatness always lay in its commitment to its founding principles, which were essentially Christian principles. That commitment is now at a breaking point, and I pray and hope for a return to those founding values. That would make it easier for me, and perhaps for some of you, to be patriotic. Well, let's close in prayer.